In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
I don't know what the commercial feed was like for other people or not, but on my YouTube TV, I got so many Will Levis commercials during that game.
Oh, yeah?
Like so many Will Levis commercials. It was driving me insane, and yet it also made me want mayonnaise, which is weird.
They're good commercials.
It's not something you typically like, oh, I need some mayonnaise. And like, I didn't even really, like, without even, like, I don't know, with what, some poutine or something? Yeah. I don't know. I just wanted mayonnaise.
Yeah, man.
It was working.
Power of advertising. Power of advertising.
Okay, so this is where Ross and I disagree a little bit. Is I think Ross is, as he admitted, he's got a natural bias towards offensive linemen. You know, he didn't want to blame the offensive line, and yet at the same time, he was blaming the lack of a run game, which was 100% completely and totally, at least partly, because the offensive line can't be trusted to
block. No doubt.
So in the run game, so we'll get to the pass game. In the run game, I'm just sitting here, I'm watching a play. A zone run to the Texans' left. Oh, this is when they were in the red zone. And, you know, my first thought was, I was watching the end zone copy. I was like, well, this is a loaded box. So let's zoom back out a little bit. Oh, it's a loaded box. Even though the Titans are playing cover two, it's a loaded box because Bobby's got all 11 offensive players jumbled in a nucleus right around the football. And four Texans players play side get absolutely destroyed. Joe Mixon doesn't have a single chance. The linebackers know the ball is going to come back, so they don't even bother playing front side, and they just swarm. They just swarm Joe Mixon. Like, that's that they're incapable of performing their bread and butter scheme because of the physical inadequacies, because of the actual play call itself, because down in the red zone, Bobby Slowe doesn't really give CJ a lot of easy options. Like, a lot of this stuff, as the game goes on, you just start wondering, wait a second, I watch the Lions, I watch these other teams, and guys are getting schemed wide open at times.
Yeah.
And they did it. They'll do it early in the game. The Texans do it early in the game. Throw back to Tank Dell, et cetera, et cetera. It just doesn't it doesn't translate through four quarters of football.
Do you think maybe they should make a request to the league, and after the first quarter is over, say, can we play the second quarter tomorrow? Can you give us a day? And then after the second quarter's over, they can say, can we make halftime a full day also? And just play the game over the course of 4 days. That'll give Bobby and the offensive staff plenty of time to scheme up some really good plays for the second quarter.
Bobby's like a kid that needs extra time for the test.
He's
got medical needs or what have you. So, right. He gets extra time for the test. Yeah,
I mean,
we're at that point. We need to request the league. Like, We'll make this look real ugly for you, NFL.
Yeah.
If you're not going to address Bobby Slowick's intellectual, you know, challenges,
yeah,
then, you know, that's on you.
Right.
I'll cite the ADA and everything else.
Right. I mean, it can't hurt to ask. I mean, all they can do is say no, right? You know? Yeah. So, man, that's frustrating. The picture you illustrate just by talking about that play,
yeah,
and Ross talking about what he saw on Sunday, I have zero confidence this is going to get fixed this season. You know, like my fear is this is what it's going to look like the rest of the season, and that CJ's regression that he's experiencing right now, that the best case scenario is that he just sort of holds right here. You know what I mean? Like that he realizes, okay, this is impact, you know, like all the deficiencies on the offense have impacted me to some degree, and that changes get made this offseason, whether it's with personnel or whether it's with the coaching staff. And that CJ, who I think is equipped to handle the ups and downs like this, that's the good news. We have a texter texting in, 5-Hour Energy fan line, 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football super fans. Someone's texting in comparing CJ Stroud to Carson Wentz, which is an interesting analogy because when Carson Wentz didn't do it as a rookie, but his second year in the league in 2017, the year the Eagles won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
If Carson Wentz doesn't get hurt, he's the MVP of the league that year. And he went backwards ever since that year.
Yeah.
I think CJ, well, first of all, if whatever you read about Carson Wentz behind the scenes, CJ ain't that. Like CJ is the supreme leader behind I think CJ is equipped to handle what he's going through right now way better than Carson Wentz was.
CJ operates at a mental level way more advanced than Carson Wentz ever did. Plus, right. Carson Wentz had that Jameis Winston in him, young Jameis Winston at least, of just making some idiotic bad decisions.
Yeah.
Really, really bad. He was like Will Levis. He never stopped being young Will Levis when Will Levis would make these boneheaded decisions. I say young Will Levis, I'm talking about week one of this season. Levis doesn't look as stupid anymore, you know? So when Ross is talking about how CJ feels like even when he gets good pass protection, it doesn't look like he trusts it, or maybe, you know, the clock in his head is a little disrupted. Yeah, that's 100%. It's kind of like when somebody who's really sarcastic gives you a compliment. You end up like hyper-analyzing whether it's actually a compliment or not. And then all of a sudden you've screwed up the rest of your life. That's what CJ with good pass protection. I feel like he's kind of like, wait, can I accept this compliment? Or
right,
not?
Right.
Is this, wait a second. And then all of a sudden he's sacked. He makes a bad decision.
Yeah.
And I'm not making excuses for him. Ultimately, it's on him.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a trust level in him and how he's operating right now. And CJ, to his credit, has said all the right things about guys need to buy into the system, guys need to trust the play call, guys need to do this, guys need to do that. And I think CJ, I would suspect that CJ genuinely believes that. Like he's saying, look, I'm not going to fix anything by complaining. I'm not going to fix anything by making excuses. We got to just all be on the same page. But for us, they don't have skin in the game as observers, it's becoming brazenly clear that whatever issues there are, there's too many issues across the board in terms of execution, play calling, et cetera, to not consider a change at offensive coordinator.
100%.
If you're D'Amico, it's malpractice if you're not considering a change in coordinator during the bye week.
Yeah.
You got one more week here. And it's, man, it's go time.
Yeah.
There's only so many things you can fix. And the biggest, most glaring potential thing that you can fix, you can't go out and get new players right now.
Nope.
You can't trade for anybody. There's very little you can do on the player side. There's one big change you can make that's who's calling the plays, who's crafting the game plan, all of that. That you've got to, at the very least, consider, or it's malpractice.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, and even if they win against Jacksonville this Sunday, like if they win, but the offense is still doing what it's been doing, not scoring in the second half, not able to run the football, but they win the game. That's my fear, is if they put up a performance on Sunday. Again, great point. Bye week coming up, perfect time to do something like that, Seth. That's take advantage of the bye week if you need to make changes. That's my fear, is this whole a win's a win mentality. Like, yeah. You know, that, like, at least that's the rhetoric. You know, like, hey, man, it's hard to win, and a win is a win. Well, no, I mean, there, and I know D'Amico knows this. Like, no, there's a lot of stuff that needs to get fixed even when you're winning football games, especially close football games against bad teams, right? Jacksonville.
Well, the whole thing about the Titans game was, and we said this going into the game, was, okay, the Titans are a bad team, but they present some challenges for the Texans that even if the Texans won by 21 points, I could have looked at some of the matchups and looked ahead to see, okay, they got away with this. They didn't get, you know. So and what's so disheartening about this loss was that, yes, the Texans lost the game. But the very specific things that I was worried about that I'd be able to learn from a game against a two-win football team, all of them the Texans lost. You know, how's the Texans' interior offensive line going to fare versus really good defensive tackles? Mm-hmm. Turns out... to the surprise of very few people,
right.
I had talked myself into optimism. Turns out, no, they did not answer that test. Can the Texans defense keep Will Levis from being the guy that he had been in the 2 weeks leading into this game? He looked like a smarter quarterback. It looked like he wasn't damaging his own team, but he was still capable of eviscerating teams downfield. That came up big. So I've got concerns about the secondary, and now Jalen Petrie's out.
Mm-hmm.
That reared its ugly head too. Can the Texans not hurt themselves with penalties the way they had done with Nico Collins in the previous week? Turns out, no. They are hell-bent on destroying Nico Collins' greatness by calling his big plays back with idiotic penalties.
Yep.
Like, so all of these things, even if the Texans had won by 21 points because of a couple big plays or something, I wouldn't have felt good about any of these things coming out of that Titans game. So that's the really alarming break glass in case of emergency, all that stuff. They've run out of time. You've got to make a change. You cannot trust Bobby Slowick to do it.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Dana Carvey and David Spade here.
You might know our podcast, Fly on the Wall, featuring guests from across the entertainment industry.
We decided to do a spinoff called Superfly, and it's fun. It's just two of us riffing on current events, pop culture, catching up, impressions.
Joe, Trump's trying to be a dictator.
Yeah, just bump on the tater tots.
Joe, no.
Listen to and follow Superfly on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Chris Long, former defensive lineman, Greenlight Podcast. He's on Inside the NFL as well. We play a lot of his audio, and you guys know Chris Long. Really, really good stuff. This was making the rounds last night. He talked extensively about C.J. Stroud, the Texans' offense. Here is Chris Long. We got a couple cuts here. Here's Chris Long first saying that C.J. Stroud is damaged right now.
He looked like the next Joe Montana, and I still think he's got, you know, that rare ability in him. I'm not putting him with Joe Montana, but you know what I'm saying. They have done everything in their power this year to stunt the kid's development. I mean, his eyes are on the rush, mm-hmm. you know, and like you could say, hey, keep your eyes downfield. But after 12 games of it, it's a survival tactic yep. to know who's falling at your feet, to know who's not picking up a game.
Yeah.
Nico Collins has 2 touchdowns in a week called back on dumb penalties. Mm-hmm. You know, one of them yesterday is an illegal motion. Mixon and the receiver in motion at the same time, and like they knew it right away. Did you see it on CJ Stroud's face?
Yeah, I mean, I said it to Ross, I'll say it again. I think the 3 games, Green Bay, Indianapolis here, the Jets, that's when it started to turn. That's when that's when this version of CJ Stroud started showing up with jittery feet, I won't say poor decision-making, but certainly not the level of decision-making we saw last season. Certain poor decisions made, not just all the time, but he's thrown 9 interceptions in 12 games. He threw 5 through the whole season last year. So by definition, poor decisions, or at least not throwing the ball like he was last year. So they haven't done... Who knows if Kenyon Green would still be out there if he hadn't gotten hurt? You know, like that.
Right,
that was the part to me during that 3-game stretch. Like, there were changes available to you, and they weren't making them. And that's the scary thing, I think, for Texan fans, is the answer always seems to be, with D'Amico and with Bobby both, is we just got to go back and we got to work. You know, we got to go execute, you know, like.
Yeah, and it's good to have faith in your people and understand that there's going to be time in which they need to develop. But you're sitting here in the second year of a regression by C.J. Stroud. And, well, it's the first year of a regression, but you're in his second year. And you just wonder, okay, if D'Amico had, let's say D'Amico had been hired, but it was one of those situations where, all right, he inherits Bobby Slowick. You know, and so he's got no emotional ties to him whatsoever, no history with him. At what point in this season is D'Amico going to start thinking, all right, well, this guy's just too green at this point. And whatever fixes need to be made, Bobby is clearly not getting it done. I don't think an impartial coach or a guy that, you know, had no prior experience with him would be giving Bobby Slowick a vote of confidence at this point. And this is where it's hard. It's hard for a head coach, man. This is when you become a true NFL head coach, when you start firing your friends.
Absolutely.
You look at last night. Hey, I mean, the Ravens, you know, the Ravens had great success early on with Greg Roman as the offensive coordinator, and then it fizzled. And then they probably waited way too long to swap out offensive coordinators. Mm-hmm. But, you know, John Harbaugh, not an offensive coordinator. He's a special teams guy. So kind of like a lot like D'Amico. He's the overseer of the entire team. It's his job to get the right offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And if they had stuck with Greg Roman, I think, look, Roman's doing great things for the Chargers right now, but it just wasn't the right fit anymore with the Ravens. You can't drag your feet out forever making decisions on stuff like this.
Let's hear from Chris Long on that very topic, because Chris Long, Greenlight Podcast, said, kind of echoing what Seth just said.
Well, yeah. And this is him discussing what the Texans need to discuss during the bye week and after the Jags game.
So they haven't played Jacksonville, then they have a bye.
And I know he's tight with the quarterback coach, right? I know there's other guys that are in the building and call plays, right? Like, did we look at that as Bill Lazor?
Yeah.
Is there? He's called some plays in the NFL before. But they have to have a conversation about the play calling, because the play calling is not good. And I've seen teams work around worse offensive lines. There are some decent players, guys who have played good ball in the past on this offensive line, but they're not playing together, and they're doing unsound shit. They're pulling Shaq Mason to pick up an edge guy who's screaming off the edge. He's tiptoeing. He doesn't know what he's doing. You know, you've given up a sack to Devondre Sweat. The guy hadn't had a sack since Jesus was a baby, and you're giving up a sack to that guy. He's 380 pounds. How do you give up a sack to a 400-pound guy late in a down?
Yeah. he named a few of the options there. You know, when Chris Long said there, he's tight with the quarterback's coach. He is CJ, I'm sure. And the quarterback's coach, obviously, is Gerard Johnson. So he's listing him as an option. Bill Lazor, who you've got great familiarity with, as an option.
And who I don't talk to. Like, I told Bill when they hired him, like, hey, listen, man. When I have friends on the staff, they don't hear from me, because I never want anything. When Bill Lazor's name starts coming up, I don't want to be attached to it.
Right.
So, because this is the type of stuff that happens. But Bill Lazor has experience as an offensive coordinator. Gerard Johnson thought very highly of. There's guys on staff that might just flat out. Are there going to be guys that do a worse job than Bobby Slowick right now?
This is a little bit like the Kenyon Green argument, right? When Kenyon Green was failing at left guard, and there's some people are like, well, all you got is Kendrick Green and Jared Patterson. It's like, yeah, their best quality is they're not Kenyon Green. Like, Kenyon Green, 77th out of 77 guards on Pro Football Focus. You literally can't do any worse according to that metric. Bobby Slowick, considering what he has in terms of material, is at the bottom of the barrel of offensive coordinators this season. There's just no other way. You have the offensive rookie of the year as a quarterback who has gone backwards and who has been damaged in no small part because of a scheme and an offensive line that you continue to trot out there that's coached by the same guy all season, a guy who wasn't part. I mean, this goes back now to last season. Like, why were you hiring a guy to coach the offensive line who'd never been in this system before? That's rearing its ugly head now. So, yeah, like you're absolutely right, Seth. There's, I would say, like, Gerard Johnson can't do worse. Bill Lazor can't do. Hell, I'd say Ben McDaniels, I think, got to call some plays during training camp. Like, he can't do worse than the Texans are doing right now, running Joe Mixon into a brick wall and setting up third and 12 on the regular.
I'll tell you another thing on that play that I was just talking about where everybody gets destroyed. Part of it is, okay, like Jeffrey Simmons is beating. Jeffrey Simmons is having a really good rep versus the center. You're going to expect that. It wasn't like, I'm not sitting there thinking like, I can't believe Patterson got beat on this. Right. That was like, he was losing the down, but it wasn't atrocious. Mm-hmm. It's Laremy Tunsil. Like, these people that love pointing out Laremy Tunsil, they hate PFF grades unless they're pointing out that Laremy Tunsil's got really good pass blocking grades. But meanwhile, they ignore the fact that he just doesn't give a damn in the run game. Like, on that play, he just flat out says, like, I'm going to turn this out. Oh, I have to block Arden Key. This is hard. I'm just going to turn out on it and reduce. I'm just going to force it to the outside and basically make the tackle for the linebackers. So he gets destroyed by Arden Key on that play. Xavier Hutchinson, he's trying to block, but he's not Deebo Samuel. You know, like, they've only got one really – one guy on this team. The wide receivers all try to block. I give them credit for that. They're not as lazy. The wide receivers care more about run blocking than some of the offensive linemen do. But they're not good at it. They're not good at it.
Right.
So other than Nico, really, when it comes down to crunch time, I guess that's one of the other big questions. Can you actually get these offensive tackles to play the way that they're being paid?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's not a – I can't blame Bobby Slowick for that, but maybe one of the other offensive – maybe another offensive coordinator would know how to tweak those guys the right way.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Get in their head.
Drew Scruggs is just a mess. Honestly, what did they? This is another what did they expect moment. You've seen him at left guard,
right?
And I know you trust Patterson more with the calls, et cetera, and everything like that. But my God, they've got no options at left guard and haven't had him all year.
Yep. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. You can text us 713-572-4610. That's the 5-hour energy fan line. That's a good way to weigh in. Top of the hour Tuesday Pettycast. We got plenty of petty to get to at the top of the hour. There was a signing in baseball yesterday. The Astros didn't have a bunch of dead money on the books. Is this a deal you think they would have done or should they have done heading into next season? We'll talk about that, and we'll get back to the Texans as well. Stay there.